fine. I had expected him to come back with a chain and try to haul it off with his Jeep, but never saw anybody again. And the next day I went down and put some more concrete around it so he'd have more trouble with that. Actually, somebody stole one several years ago by taking out the bolts that were holding it on, and I never have heard any more about that one, but the sheriff's department knows about it, and everybody knows about the draft sign, so if somebody sees one in somebody's garage, you'll have a lot of problems. And we had one here in Brevard a month ago. I don't know exactly what happened, but somebody broke into and tore up two of the mailboxes in front of the post office. So now we have to go inside to mail stuff. Over.
I'd mess with the U.S. postal mail stuff. That's getting into federal territory. That gets kind of sticky real quick. So I don't believe I'd mess with the postal service. But I would believe it. They'll take anything that ain't nailed down. Let me get back to Mr. Barry over here, Ed. Appreciate you coming in there and making a comment. And I'm glad you still got your giraffe crossing sign. KK4JBQ, Larry, what else you got for us there, young man?
First of all, I'd like to say that I feel complimented that you and I have a conversation. And it's not exclusive, you know. We don't exclude people here. And that other people would want to come in and comment on something that we've been talking about, I think that's high praise. It's a big compliment to you and to me. And just wanted to say that everybody's welcome to speak their mind here. And it makes me feel good, don't you?
Yeah, it's like I tell people all the time, Larry. You don't know who's listening to the radio when you're talking over the air. So, you know, you watch what you say, you know, and you got other folks that might want to comment on what you were talking about, which is always a good thing as far as I'm concerned. And we've had some good comments tonight, no doubt.
I'll leave the air tonight feeling real good about it. And it's after 10 now, so out of respect for everybody, I will, I got tons of things to talk about, but I shouldn't. It's good to talk with you, Gary. It always is. I'm left feeling really good. Thank you so much again for calling the net for us tonight. It's kind of off schedule for you, but, lots of the net controls are doing extra duty because there is a shortage of net control operators. A big opportunity if anyone should want to step in there and take the reins. Just want to say it that way. Gary, you have a good night. Say hello to Joy for me, and I trust that you both have had an excellent day. And believe you me, just from a deep personal place, I wanted to say how marvelous I think your Christmas present was. And what a gift to all of us it was. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.
Okay, Larry. Well, I've had a wonderful time tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. Tell Miss Donna we said hello and Merry Christmas to her. And you both enjoy that orchid flower. That's a marvelous piece of majesty as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's a miracle what it is, because I don't believe I could make one of those. Whether I tried to, no matter what I tried, I don't think I could make one. But anyway, y'all take care. Merry Christmas to you. Enjoyed it, and we'll do it again. 73 there, my friend. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Don't have any more rag chewers and don't have any more check-ins. I sure would like to get one more, so I have a nice round, even number of 50 tonight, but I've got 49 so far. Do we have any other comments or any other check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
brother-in-law who has a lofty position out in Texas, got a ham ticket. I think he went in as a tech, and Kilo, which I do not look down on one bit. No, sir, that's a starting point. Kilo Echo 5 OGS, one good soul. Kilo Echo 5, one good soul. Thought it was the most perfect call sign on the face of the earth. Hey, let it expire.
I'm sorry that he let that one expire. That was really a cool call sign. Yeah, a lot of people, when I give mine out to DOS, they immediately think of disk operating systems. And I told them, I said, well, you can think of it that way, but the better way to remember me is a donkey on skates.
Kind of visualize that. I can see it in my mind's eye.
Kind of funny, wouldn't it?
Most anybody else I know. You guys have a great evening. I know it's getting late. I got to go back to the house and talk to my wife, which really I'd much rather stay right here. Go HF. But no, I got to go in there and talk to her, which will be cool as soon as there's a commercial break in television. I don't like TV anymore. It seems to be so trite. But, I mean, like, it's just not entertaining. So I have a problem with that. I do have three books I've not finished reading, and I got to pull them down and get started. The last one's on Roosevelt and Taft, which is really intriguing. Good book to read. I want to finish it. I got like 300 more pages to go.
I hope you get those books down and get your enjoyment out of that. I enjoy reading as well. I used to hate to read, and my wife reads all the time, and she's quite a history buff, and she's got a lot of history books, and then she's got a lot of, she was going to school to be a paralegal, so she's got a lot of law books. I don't care for those at all, but I got to where I enjoy a good book. Oh, gosh, I can't remember. Well, I've got two in there that I'm reading now, but I hadn't finished either one of them, but I've got several. I got more pages than you've got to go. But I hope you enjoy your books when you get in there and get reading into those. Go in there and talk to the bride just a little while. You know, it's always good to give them a little bit of attention, whether you think they need it or not. And as far as playing HF, I played HF a little bit this past weekend. Parks on the Air was on, and I sat here and talked to quite a number of parks and gave them contacts and you know, where they activated the parks, and just had a ball playing with radio. So yeah, it's been a good weekend.
When you see your wife, ask her if she's familiar with Doris Kearns Goodwin. Doris Kearns Goodwin. She is my most favorite author of all time. I mean, they say people of God wrote the Bible. Doris Kearns Goodwin is better. I mean, this girl can do history like you would not. She wrote Lincoln. She wrote Roosevelt. She wrote, these are masterful books. So ask your wife if she knows those names, Doris Kearns Goodwin. And is she a ham, your wife?
She is. Her call is her name, actually, K3JOY. Her name is Joy. And she wanted K4, but somebody else already had it. And K3 became available, and she sent in a request for that call sign and got it. So that's her call sign.
K3JOY, I got it. Okay. Well, I mean, tell her that I'm here because I'm the biggest historian there is in this part of the state, in the Pendleton area. We have a great deal of history, like the fifth oldest town in South Carolina. So there's a lot to be said about where we are. It was purchased in 1783. And it goes from there. Now, we were scared of Indians, so we didn't develop till 1790. it goes on from there. There's so much history in this market, in this area. It's exciting stuff.
It can be really exciting, but you really need to find someone that's interested in it a little bit. I used to not be interested in it a whole lot at all, and until my wife, like I said, she reads all the time, and she has gotten me to where I love to read, and got me interested in some other things other than engines and motors and electric circuits and all kinds of things that I've done in the past. But we enjoy it, and I'll ask her if she knows that author. She probably does, but I'll ask her to be sure and tell her that you recommend that author highly.
Doris Kearns Goodwin. That woman, let's say I'm 70 what? Okay, she is, I think she's probably maybe as much as 8 or 9 years my senior. But she's so much smarter than I'll ever be. And her husband's at Princeton, I think, and has been for a number of years. And she's been sitting back and writing these unbelievably accurate historical texts. This woman is great. Doris Kearns Goodwin. If your wife knows her, she'll agree when you say the name, and she'll be impressed that you know to say it. And so, but she'll really enjoy knowing that there's someone else. And if she doesn't know, then she can really discover a new, but she does know. You can't hide people like Ms. Goodwin.
About that, and she does have some books in there. We've got too many books, I say. We've got too many. That's not really true. I don't think you can have too many of those. But we don't throw any books away. We don't burn them or anything like that. If we buy a book and read it, we put it on the shelf. And we've got bookshelves. And, well, I've got them in here in the ham shack. She's got them in her den. We got them off. Well, they're everywhere. But I think she's got... I think I've seen that author's name on one or two of her books. I'll have to ask her to make sure. But I'll let you know.
It'll be fun to find out. That really will be. But, you know, there's something I was going to mention to you just then. Oh, dad blame it. My mind seems to be so flighty. I'm only in my early 70s. Yeah, that's pretty cool. There was something I wanted to mention to you right off the bat. Ah, dadgummit. I cannot apologize enough. Stuff seems to be, it eludes me.
Just chalk that up to a senior moment. You know, I have those frequently. You know, I walk into a room knowing what I'm going after, and I get into the room, and I look around and say, what did I come in here for? Yeah, in 5 steps, I forgot what I was looking for. But then eventually it will come back to me, and I'll go back and find out what I went in there to get to start with. But in the meantime, don't you worry about it whatsoever.
Other thoughts who come to mind have been lost. I swear to goodness, this is the funniest stuff I've ever lived through. Now, when did you get your ticket? When was your first ham ticket issued?
I got my ham ticket, my first ham ticket in 2004. That's where I took my technician and then had it for, a couple of months. And my son got his license a month before I did, and I got mine, and then that's my oldest son. And then we decided we'd go together to get our general, and he went the month before, the month we were supposed to go. I was sick. I don't remember. Something was wrong, I couldn't go, and he went on, and he got his general. And so about 2 months later, I told, after I got my general, I told him, I said, all right, we're going to study for 2 months, and we're going to go get our extra. And he still hadn't got his, but I got mine, and so he might have got his, a tech and a general before I did, but then I got my extra before he's got his. So I got my license in 2004, but when I got out of service in 1976, my father-in-law, WB4YUO, Mr. George Dickert, was a ham, and he tried to get me to get my ticket then, and I worked on some of his radios and that sort of thing. And so I've been around it for a long time, but I hadn't been a ham that long.
I understand. My first ticket was in 71. That was the last century. And it gets funny because I already held the first phone, which meant I'd already been up through the ranks, second, whatever. And I had a second-class radio telegraphy, which allowed me not to have to take exams on code anymore, 20 words send and receive. And I did that like at 17, and it was, I could do it. And now you asked me to do it today, there ain't no way that's going to happen. I can tell you the code, but I don't think I can do the code. Not quite the same as when, that's 52 years ago. I've been a pilot since 1973. And so, well, that's 50 years ago. Everything goes on, and it gets more and more fun. I swear to God, it does.
DOS with a Blue Ridge 2-meter net with WA4HNT, Mr. Alton down there in Pendleton. It seems to get more fun. Thing about CW, if you don't use it, you seem to lose it. My brother-in-law, Joy's brother, he was in the Army, and I don't know what he did. He won't discuss it, but he knows Morse code, and he and I sat down two Christmases ago, 2 years ago, and he was sitting over there tapping out Morse code on the dinner table, and I was sitting over there answering him, and the ladies just kept on carrying on with their conversations, like, and we acted like they weren't even there. But he's amazing, as far as that goes. He can carry on a conversation with you and two other people while he's copying CW. And never miss a beat, but he is even though he doesn't send it anymore, he keeps on practicing so he doesn't lose it. And that's what he told me one day, and he said, I practice so I don't lose it. So I said, well, maybe I do a little CW on the ham radios now. I don't do as much as I should, but I do enough to keep in practice.
And that's the most wonderful thing. That's so cool. I kind of think in the same way, in the sense that I play with it constantly because I just don't want to not have it to play with. I also can make your toaster sing if it comes down to me sending a radio signal. And if you are any kind of a RF person, you can make that happen. And it's just too funny. And so, no, I think that's wonderful that he does that. And I don't really know where they use it anymore, but the beauty of it is when you want to communicate with someone, your cell phone will not work.
Well, that's the beauty of it. And it doesn't take much to make a transmitter. You can make one that'll do Morse code. If you got something to receive with, you can send with just about anything. One of my Elmers told me a long time ago, he said, if I had $100 to spend on a ham radio outfit, he said, I would spend $10 on the transmitter, I'd spend $20 on the receiver, and put the rest of it in my antenna.
So with the antenna every time.
To work for him, and like I said, it's Well, CW gets through when nothing else will, it seems like. And, you know, it's a, basically it's a form of CW that they talking to the Voyager spacecraft and all of that. You know, even though it's done with computers, it's done with such high speed, but it's still dots and dashes pretty much. Doing, you know, putting in the commands and that sort of thing. And sending the information back, so it's not used as much, I don't think, as it was at one time. But it's still viable, and I can tell you some other things that I've seen and done. But we get carried into something that we're not supposed to talk about. Maybe I don't know.
Probably the one thing I can't say about it is there's information there that one day the world may need again. And if you ain't got anybody standing in the background who knows anything about it, then it's lost art. It's a lost language. It's kind of like everything I can't do, which includes, you know, most languages. And so, you know, I'm just kind of thinking that we should not turn loose of something like code. I think code is so simple. You say, I hate to think of it in any other terms than binary. That's I don't like the, I really am not a big fan of digital, but binary, yeah, well, you know, come on, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know what I'm saying. It just goes on and on forever. This is code. If you know how to do it, then you'll have it when you need it. And that may be the only way you will be able to communicate. And I think there's got to be one guy in the crowd who can do it.
4DOS with WA4HNT, Mr. Alton. Alton, I'll tell you, I did not do this myself, but a friend of mine, he's Silent Key now, he did it. He was in the Navy, and he said that you know, they use the signals, they use the lights, flashing the lights, talking between ships. And he said they were too far apart for one to be able to see the other's light across the ocean. So what they did was they tilted the lights up and bounced the light off a cloud. And they continued to talk to each other, even though they were so far out they couldn't see each other or see the lights from each other's each ship. But they could see them bouncing off the clouds, and they communicated with lights flashing on the clouds. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
I'd not heard that, but I understand it. 100% I understand it, but I've never heard of it. That sounds just too bizarre, but I understand it. And if you have not got another way to do it, you improvise. And that is improvising.
But, I mean, yeah, we can run across all kinds of things that in this hobby. And it's a beautiful hobby because it's a very, very dear friend, Silent Key now, K4SUG, Mr. Ray Allison, told me a long time ago. He said, just because you got your license to get on the radio, he said, consider it a license to learn. He said, because if you think of it that way, he said, you can go anywhere with any kind of stuff in this hobby that you want to go with, whether it be digital or, you know, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. My father-in-law had teletype machines, which you don't see anymore at all, period. So it's an amazing hobby, and it's a hobby that we can continue to learn with and expand our horizons and our knowledge and maybe even help somebody out in the long run.
It's been fun for me. Now, I got my SEC tickets before I got my ham ticket, which is, of course, another SEC ticket. But I got them all before I did ham. I did him because of a guy named Max Pollard. I think he lives over towards Simpsonville or somewhere. Max has got to be 15 years older than me. So, and I've heard Ray told me that he knew Max. And I haven't seen Max in, well, 50 years. And so, but I'm told he's over there in the Simpsonville area. I worked in Serene Hall with Max back in like 70. I was waiting on my draft. As they pulled up a 6-to-1 number on me. They were going to 180. So I was toast. And so I was working this menial job over in Serene Hall at Clemson. And then Max took another job across Greenville someplace. Never saw him again. But he's the guy that helped me into getting my tech license back in like 71. I mean, forever ago.
When you got your license, there were 5 license classes at that time. You first had to get your novice, which was nothing but CW. And then you got your tech, and then you got your general, and then there was advanced, and then the extra. A lot of folks wouldn't even consider ham radio back then because they had to get the code for the novice portion of the test, and then you had to take CW with the other classes as well. And as you went up, your speed went up, and so you know you went from like 5 words to 13 words to 20, and I think 20 was about the top speed. It might have been 23. I don't remember. But anyway, it's things have changed over the years, hadn't they, Alton?
You know, when Max found out, he's my supervisor at Serene Hall. We did tech work, you know, electronics stuff. Actually, we did a lot of nothing. I was enjoying my job. I was a kid making good money doing nothing. And but Mac and I, what was it? When he found out I held a 2 second-class radio telegraphy, but I couldn't go first class because I couldn't meet the qualifications. That would be tenureship, servicing on a USA registered passenger liner, something like that. And of course, there weren't any, so there was no way to go from second to first. But when he found out I had a second class radio telegraphy, and I don't know how I got it either, I really don't. But when he found out that, he started me on the ham trip. I've never taken a code test for ham radio because I had the second telegraphy. It's not required. And now, of course, it's not required for anyone. And I don't really agree with that, but I understand the argument. I really do. So that's where we go from there. I want to give ID WA4HNT.
Congratulations on having your license as long as you have. And I'm sure you have known just a whole bunch of people like I have in the ham community that are no longer with us that were just a wealth of knowledge that could tell you all kinds of things and help you out in certain areas and that sort of thing. But it's been a lot gone before us, and like when my father-in-law first got into ham radio, there weren't as many. I don't even know if there were any or not. If it wasn't military or surplus military, they had to build their own, and then they had to modify the military stuff to work on the ham bands. But most of the stuff was homebrew, and then they folks found out what kind of market it was and what kind of money they could make, and so they started mass producing them, like what we got now. But it's come a long way, buddy, no doubt.
When I was young, we're former military radio personnel in one way or the other. And they came out of the military, they got their tickets through the FCC, they began to become old men on ham bands. These are the guys that that were there when I became a ham in 71. And that seems like forever ago to most people, but to me, it was 18 and a half years old. I was going to be 19 the next birthday. So, you know, that's where we were, and I was waiting on the draft, man. They were coming, so I just had to sit back and watch, and this thing got worse and worse. But, no, we had a good time doing that, and that began me on the trail to a ham radio. Got my tech. I kept it for years. Then one day I went out and got my general. Then I found out my brother-in-law got a tech. I stood up, walked out the door, went to the Red Cross Center over in Greenville, sat down, said, give me the extra. And that was it. I had my extra then. All it took was me sitting down and doing it. Now, I do not suggest to anyone that they go get an extra. I just don't do it because the stuff I get to do as an extra is not so much greater than the stuff I can do as a general. Forget the advance. It's over. But it's not so much greater than what I can do as a general. So if people will get at least to a general, they'll be happy.
You're correct in that, Alton. My wife, when she got her ticket, she used to log for me. I was talking on HF, and she would log for me, and she would look the places up that I was talking to as in the computer. And, you know, a lot of times she would print out a little picture of the country that I was talking to, or, you know, whatever, and that sort of thing. And one night, she was sitting there, and I was talking. I don't remember who I was talking to. I'd have to go back and look at my logbook. But I was talking to this fella over across the pond, and she put her pencil down and turned the computer around, or the monitor around, and we had a desk between her side of the room and my side of the room. And she slid the keyboard around. She said, log for yourself. She said, if I can't talk to them, I'm not logging. And so she quit logging for me, and I had to do my own logging after that. She has picked up the general book on several different occasions to start studying, get her general, but she hasn't done it yet. She just kind of lost interest in radio. But she keeps her license current just in case that I'm off somewhere. She can't get me via the cell phone. She can get me on the radio.
Well, you know, years ago, I'd pull off the ground at Hilton Head. I'd get up to a couple thousand feet. I'd pick up a handy walker. A walkie-talkie. And I pick one of those up, and I hit a modem, dial a phone number, and call home. I'd be still hundreds of miles away. And I'd say, I'll be there. You couldn't say where you were because it'd be illegal. So you simply said stuff like, I'll be there in 55, 60 minutes.
Yeah, you could tell them what time you might be there, or an approximation of the time that you'd be there, but you couldn't tell them where you were.
And, I mean, it's a legality issue, and that's cool. It says, you know, and I can see it in my mind's eye today, this very moment. You pull off that grind, you come up, you're flying over certain things that they allowed you to fly over, which I've never understood. The ammo dumps at the Marine Corps Air Base. And, you know, they allowed you to fly right over them. You go, damn plane. And so, you know, you see them down there, the bunkers. But they'd allow you to do that. And so you'd make these. I just, you know, knew that, yeah, whatever you got to say about that. And, you know, but, no, those type of things really made, well, where am I going with this conversation? KB and I have done a lot of this stuff together, so it's been quite a career. And I never told you this. I know I didn't. I met her out in New Mexico. I was driving down in the desert, and I found her on the side of the road, all covered up with dust and such. Got out, threw her in the back of the truck, hosed her down at the gas station, and found out what I had found. I would see what I had found. So I found that I found Kim. And she, like, beat me to death when I first stole that.
Oh, my goodness. I don't doubt that that she really meant to put a knot on your head when you told that. But that's pretty cool.
That was the first thing I said that she really wanted to, you know, do that to me over. Something else I said she wanted to put me in my grave over. I'm trying to figure it all out. I just stay out of the way for the most part. My wife is a little old tiny girl, skinny white girl. That's the way I describe her. And, skinny, put that out to the side for a time. And so she's a little old girl. And so that's why I describe her. And she and I have been married for 30-some few hours. I cannot even begin to tell you how long I have been married.
I don't know. Me and my wife have been through it and back again, and which is a good thing. And our anniversary is day after tomorrow. It's the 27th of December. And you would think it would be an easy date to remember 2 days after Christmas, but I have a trouble with it. She said, I'm going to get it tattooed on your forehead backwards, so when you look in the mirror, you can see it. And I said, no, don't do that. I'll just try to remember it.
That's funny. That's funny. It's kind of like when you see a police car come up behind you. That's funny. Yes, sir. She should have it done to your head backwards. That way it will read like a police car.
Where she got it from? I don't know. What else you got for us tonight, Alton?
Get out of the way. I gotta go in the house and pay attention to my wife. She's just, you know, sitting in there, I guess, by herself. We don't have cats anymore or anything, so I guess she's alone. But I so dread leaving the ham bands this evening. They've been a lot of fun tonight. They really have. Christmas Day, I don't know. It just, they've been a lot of fun. And everyone, I hope everyone has enjoyed a nice day. Kim and I have. We've been quiet, sedentary. We've just been sitting still, and we've enjoyed it. So I hope everyone else has, too. I mean, that's the only thing. You guys have a nice evening. I'm going to get it on the side. WA4HNT, clear after your final.
Tell Kim we said hello, and Merry Christmas to you and her. And I hope y'all have a continued Merry Christmas or a Merry Year, and for the rest of the year. And then we'll talk again before the New Year's, I'm sure. I'll be back here again in the hot seat on Wednesday night. So come on back and we'll talk again. 7-3, my friend, enjoyed it, and look forward to doing it again. Appreciate you coming in there and talking with us a little bit. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet? Or additional comments? Call KI4DOS. 4DOS. You got room for one more. Kilo 4, Romeo Oscar Whiskey. K4ROW, Richard Grable. Merry Christmas to you and everybody.
OS. Merry Christmas to you, Miss Joy, and everyone on the net. If you will, sir, please check in Alpha Kilo 4 Hotel Romeo, AK4HR. Name is Mike, and I'm at home in Simpsonville again tonight, Gary. Just running a little late after getting back from the family and celebrating Christmas earlier today, so I hope everybody had a wonderful day. No other comments other than that. No traffic. 73, and Merry Christmas to you and everyone on the net.
KI4DOS and Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We'd like to say good evening to K4ROW, Mr. Richard over there in Greenville. Richard, I was waiting on you to check in. You made number 50 on the log. You won the door prize tonight there, young man. Appreciate you being with us, and I hope you had a merry, merry Christmas. And then we've got AK4HR, Minister Mike, down there in Simpsonville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mr. Mike. Hope you were doing well, and tell Miss Angela we said hello. And I hope y'all had a merry, merry Christmas. Anyone else all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS. Wrap it up for this evening. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Ariel, NY4G, is supposed to be calling, and hopefully he will be here, and we will enjoy his net. Give him a good dose of rider's cramp. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll close the net out. Folks, got a grand total of 51 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there that came in on a Christmas Day night to check in with us. Come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Ariel should be calling, and we'll give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the formal vault for the, excuse me, go back again. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, with our thanks for all those folks that checked in with us tonight. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.